I once went to Pornhub to watch trailers from San Diego Comic-Con. Well, it kind of flies under the radar because people aren't searching like Avengers trailer. They're searching like Avenging My Stepmother by Having Sex with Her trailer.
On this episode of The Commercial Break.
I read, and you tell me if this is true, that you are a bit of a Disney adult, too. Do you like to go to Disney World?
You know, it's funny. I definitely am. And, you know, every time and then I meet a real Disney adult, and I'm like, well, I guess I'm not.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Cats and kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is my emotional support host, Kristen Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Chrissy.
Best to you, Brian.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. It's a TCB infomercial day with Mr. None Other, the Mr. Podcast America, Paul Scheer is here, folks.
Ooh, where's the clapping?
I don't know. Don't ask me to get complicated. Are you asking me to put in a clapping sound?
I don't know. There we go. Yes.
Love me some Paul Scheer.
God, I have been such a fan for a long time. It's just amazing, these guests that we're getting to interview with. I would never in a million years think they would want to talk to us.
No. I expected the interview part of the show would go like this. Like, when we decided, okay, let's jump back in and see if we can do some interviews with people we might actually be interested in talking to.
Yeah.
No offense to anybody. Like, Jeff was a great guest. Rachel was a great guest.
Right.
But no offense to anybody that was on the show previous to our moratorium on guesting. But as we decided to roll into guesting, I thought it would go a little bit like this. We would get mostly comics or musicians who were just on beginning their journey.
Just starting out.
Brand new, mm-hmm. Right. And what we got, or what we're getting, is the exact opposite. We're getting some heavy hitters. Paul Scheer, of course, of How Did This Get Made fame. He's got a podcast called Unspooled.
He was in the league. One of my favorite shows of all time, really.
He's in
it's
Big
so
City
funny.
Greens. He's,
so many things.
Yeah, he's got 400 podcasts. Credits to his name on IMDb, and that is not a person who is lazy. No. I will tell you that much right now. He's like Felicia Day.
Yeah.
He's got so many things that he's done. And now he's got a new book, which is, Joyful Recollections of Trauma.
Yeah.
And you could pre-order that. We'll put the link in there. But before we get to Paul, I just wanted to share a little. I wanted to ask a question. I know you don't keep up with Kanye.
No.
But he's all over the place. And it's hard to ignore sometimes some of the shenanigans that are going on around him. And I do remember it was Pete Davidson that was sharing when I went and saw him at that special concert at that dive and fucking Bumblefuck, Georgia.
I know. Who did we have on? As a side note to that, we had somebody on that we were interviewing. And they were talking about the places that they had gone to do shows.
Preacher.
Okay.
Preacher, which hasn't aired yet, but Preacher Lawson was on and he was sharing that, they're all okay. He's like, none of them are great.
It made me want to bring up who booked this?
But he did say that on stage.
I know.
He literally said that on stage. Yeah. He's like, this is the diviest dive I've ever been to. And I don't want to slam the guy who owns the place, guys or girls who own the place, but it was not a very nice place. But anyway, that's neither here nor there.
Pete was talking about Kanye.
Yeah, Pete was talking about Kanye, and he said Kanye's just fucking with everybody at this point because he's bored. He's done it all. He's seen it all. Everybody is against him, and he's just like, you know, poking the bear, essentially, is what he's doing to have some fun and have a giggle. But he is now married to this woman.
Yes.
Bianca Censori. And she has been showing up around the world in some outfits that you can only describe as unfits because they are nothing. It is nothing. She is wearing not a fucking thing. See-through this, sheer that, topless this, pantyless that, which is fine. Do your thing.
Yeah.
I ain't mad at you. I'm not mad at a naked girl. I'm just not mad at a naked girl. Never going to be mad at a naked girl. But I read this article and it kind of got me all out of sorts.
Okay.
Kanye West pulls down wife Bianca Censori's low-slung neon tights walking into Cheesecake Factory.
What?
Cheesecake Factory? Really? That's where Kanye is going? Is Cheesecake Factory? The guy has more money than God. First of all, How do you even go to a Cheesecake Factory when you're Bianca and Kanye?
I don't know.
Second of all, why would you want to go to a Cheesecake Factory if you're Kanye and Bianca? There are so many great restaurants. Cheesecake Factory, fine. It's fine. Fine. It is a food hall. That's what it is. They shove them in. They push them out. That's what they do. And they're always packed. Why? Not really sure. They got 750 items on the menu.
It's a huge, it's like a book for their menu.
It is a book.
I haven't been in years, but.
I haven't either. Probably right before the pandemic, I think my mother-in-law was in town and we all went to the Cheesecake Factory because we had young children at the time. And yeah. I thought, well.
They do have some good cheesecake.
Everybody else is screaming, so might as well bring my kid there too.
Right.
And they do have some good cheesecake. Yeah. You're right about that. Hence the name Cheesecake Factory. But what they also have is spaghetti and meatballs, hamburgers, pizzas, tacos, meatloaf,
Asian dishes.
Asian dishes.
I mean, it's everything.
Pot stickers, full, haggis. They have everything you could ever want in that place. And all of it is fine. It's just fine. You know what I'm saying? It is such a weird place to expect Bianca and Kanye to show up. But there's one thing I know about a Cheesecake Factory. It is not where you typically go to watch the big game on a Friday night, right? It's not like an adult sports bar. It is a family-oriented place, for sure. Mostly families in there.
Yeah. And he pulled down her pants.
He pulled down. Look at this. Just look at this. I just want to show you this skimpy outfit that she was seen wearing.
Yep.
Look, he pulled her pants down halfway down her butt. She's wearing a sheer top. And then she's wearing sheer leggings, bright green leggings with no underwear on under it. That's how you're showing up to Cheesecake Factory. That's not how you show up to Cheesecake Factory. That's how you show up to a red carpet, or you show up to an adult club, or you show up, you know, somewhere in Italy like they were for months and months or months or whatever. This is hard for me to swallow. I'm sorry. Leave the Cheesecake Factory to us, Kanye. Go to the, somewhere in the Poconos or something. I don't know, wherever rich people congregate. And I ain't mad at you about all the money. I just don't think you should be showing up to the Cheesecake Factory in such a state of undress. No. That's my personal opinion. I'm not mad at a naked girl, but there are some places where I go where I expect not to see them. Cheesecake Factory is definitely at the top of that list.
Where was this Cheesecake Factory?
What's that?
Where was it?
Somewhere in L.A.
Oh, okay.
But even the Cheesecake Factory in L.A.,
it's
still a Cheesecake Factory. It doesn't matter where you put the Cheesecake Factory. It's still a Cheesecake Factory. You know what I'm saying? This episode is sponsored in part by Cheesecake Factory. We are fine. Everything's fine.
Everything's
fine.
Just fine.
All 600 items will come out just fine. Okay. Today, ladies and gentlemen, I present to you Paul Scheer. We present to you Paul Scheer. Yes, he's coming on TCB. Why? We do not know, because he was just named by iHeart at the South by Southwest Podcast Awards, just named the top podcaster in the TV film category. 2 years ago, he was named the top podcaster in the comedy category altogether. And so we have a lot to talk to him about as far as the podcast is concerned. But more importantly, there are many places where you don't expect to see Kanye West and Bianca. That would be the Cheesecake Factory. And there are many other places you don't expect to see Paul Scheer.
Right.
And that would be the commercial break. But unbelievably, he showed up. For what reason, I do not know. But I love it. I'm all about it.
I love it too. Let's see how it goes.
I think I first saw Paul on Best Week Ever. Remember Best Week Ever, VH1? Mm-hmm. So he did like 100 or so of those episodes.
That's right. He did do those.
He did them with, who was the other guy? Not Nick Kroll. I can't remember, but there was like a mainstay, and it was him and Paul Scheer were like the mainstays of the show, commenting on pop culture and music and stuff like that on VH1. It was on years ago. I think they stopped doing it in the, early 2010s.
They've replaced
like
it now with Cheaters.
Yeah, they replaced it with reruns of Cheaters and
the
Little Women of Atlanta or whatever. Okay. I mean, come on, VH1. You used to be a great channel. And I'm not knocking the Little Women of Atlanta. I'm sure it's a fine show, but it belongs on TLC, Lifetime, Bravo, one of those places where those shows are often shown. It's like a big mix. VH1 used to have a good solid core of television shows.
Yeah.
And then softer rock, if you would say. The softer side of music is what they would play from MTV. MTV was the cutting edge hardcore for the young 18 to 25s or 13 to 25s. And then VH1, you matured into VH1. When you turned 30, you started watching more VH1. And you were like, I don't know about that Carson Daly anymore. But Best Week Ever is a great show.
It is.
And they used to have some reality shows like Rock of Love.
Oh, you remember? Rock of Love. Okay,
Daisy of Love. That. We talked about Daisy of Love one time, one episode. But my point is that Paul has been around for a very long time. He's done a ton of things. He's now doing voicing cartoons. He's got new shows that are coming out. He was in The League, one of the better shows that's been on television during the, what are we calling it? Prestige TV era, okay. I guess is what we're calling it. Yeah. And he's now got a new book. That's what's most important to know. This is the promo part of the intro, just to let you know that out there. I'm breaking down the fourth wall on the podcast. It's important for you to know that Paul's not coming on here for his good health. He's coming on here because he's got a book. I can't wait to take a listen to it because I'm going to do audiobooks.
Yep.
And it's called Joyful Recollections of Trauma. You can pre-order it now. Links in the show notes. Go to his website, paulshearer.com. Follow him on social media, all that good stuff. Okay, Chrissy, so I'm going to ask you, what do you think we take a break? What do you say we take a break?
What do you say?
What do you say?
I say yay.
You say yay?
I say yay, not nay.
Not nay? No nays, all yays here at the commercial break. We have judge, jury, and executioner. It's all coming together. We're going to take a break. We're going to find a way to technically pull in Paul Scheer here into the studio.
Via hologram.
Mm-hmm. That's the only way we can do it. It's like Star Trek. We're beaming him up, beaming him down. Because let's be honest, we have no fucking clue how any of this works. We just give him a link and we hope he shows up. Yeah, it's the cloud. It's all in the cloud. Cloud, what's that? So we'll take a break. We'll be back with Paul. Stay tuned.
Well, thank the baby Jesus. Brian took a breath, and now I will use this opportunity to let you know that we've got a brand new phone number. That's right, it's 212-433-3TCB. And you can text us anytime you want. Or you can call and leave us a voicemail, and we might just use your message on the show. Once Brian gets through all the messages he missed last year, of course. Anyway, you can also find and DM us on Instagram at The Commercial Break and on TikTok at TCB Podcast. And of course, all of our audio and video is easily found on tcbpodcast.com. Now I'm going to thank G one more time that we have sponsors. So thank G, and here they are.
And he's here with us now. Paul, thank you very much for coming on The Commercial Break.
I am very excited to be on The Commercial Break. The Commercial Break, you know, while a great name, also one of my favorite things that I feel like I miss in this era of streaming. I miss my commercials. My kid, as a matter of fact, loves commercials.
So does mine.
Watching this, how old is your kid? My kid is 7.
Okay, so my kid is 5. And he has fallen, ever since he was like 2 years old, he started like looking at Geico commercials, Progressive, Limo, Emu, all that stuff. And now sometimes when he wants to watch his iPad, he gets iPad time. He says, Daddy, can you put on the Geico commercials? What he means is he wants a compilation video of all the Geico commercials. And
commercials are the original TikTok.
That's true.
Yeah.
When you think about it.
And they're into it. Yeah, no, my son like wanted to watch the Super Bowl for the commercials. And I know a lot of people do that, but it's also like he was like, oh, commercials are on. Now everyone shut up.
Yes. And the other thing that I think about, because you and I are the same age, Chrissy's around the same age. We grew up in a time of such great commercials, like great kid commercials. They didn't have a lot of laws.
The backyards.
Yeah.
Ooh, the rocks and the streams for your G.I. Joes and your He-Man figures. I mean, come on.
Yeah, now
that was a dream.
Now they have all these laws and you can't advertise tobacco to kids. All these bullshit laws
By the way, my favorite thing as a child was the candy gum cigarettes that they had a little bit of like sugar dust.
Me too. Yeah, that was puff. I know. I can't believe they were selling them.
That's crazy that you just reminded me of that. They sold those.
It was so crazy that was a thing. You know, so I did this documentary for Disney Plus about kind of failed comic books that they put out.
Yeah.
And I was having this conversation. They wouldn't allow me to put it into the documentary, but they also didn't say I couldn't say it here, which was at one point, Camel Cigarettes approached Marvel and they were like, we have an idea for a great comic book. Joe Camel like James Bond, Joe Camel. And they were like, okay, all right. And it apparently like went up the ladder a little bit. And somebody was like, no, no, no. Cigarettes. And they're like, oh, yeah, yeah, we can't do Joe Camel, James Bond.
Did you ever smoke? Did you ever smoke cigarettes?
No, I'm not really a smoker. You know, it was so like kind of taboo in my house. Like my grandfather was a smoker.
Okay.
And because he was and no one wanted him to be, it was just viewed as smoking is bad. Like it was always viewed as smoking is bad. So I never got the bug.
My entire family smoked in the house for a long time,
me
right?
Too.
That was
my
just
mom.
The thing.
Yeah.
I grew up in Chicago. I went to Catholic school just like you did, and everybody smoked. I mean, the priest would come over for dinner on Sundays.
Smoked. Oh, yeah.
It was all over the place. But they had the Camel Lights had that for a time period. They had the Camel points. So you would rip off the side of the carton and you would collect these Camel points and then they would give you cool things. And there was a period of time, I think in the early 90s, when Joe Camel was a thing. He had sunglasses. He was wearing leather jackets. You could get that leather jacket. You could get those sunglasses. I mean, this is what the kids are missing out on today.
One of my good friends was a buyer for Marlboro. And Marlboro had those like Marlboro points, like Camel points. And so, you know, she would go and find like really nice things like, oh, you want the best kayak? Well, Marlboro will have the best kayak if you give us, you know, 45,000 Marlboro points. And I remember one of the first gigs I ever got was a job where it was a audio adventure paid for by Marlboro that was like it was like a head that if you talked into the left ear, you would hear it in the left ear. And you talked to the right ear, like it was like a sensory journey through camping with your friends.
Wow.
Sponsored by the good folks at Marlboro.
And along this beautiful stream, three children smoking Marlboro unfiltered. I have a question for you.
Sure.
This is a very important question. Chrissy and I have been mulling it over for the last couple of episodes. Do you or do you not make your bed? Are you a maker of the bed or are you not a maker of the bed?
No, I'm an active not maker of the bed. My wife is a maker of the bed. And, you know, look, there are many things that I take pride in as far as household things.
Sure.
You know, I clean a dish. I use a dishwasher. I wipe down a counter. You know, I do a lot of housework. I like a house.
Good for you.
But husband. A bed maker is not for me. I'm like, I get in and get out. What do I need to make this bed for?
Well, apparently that's the health. That's the thing to do because sunlight kills the dust mites.
Oh, okay. Your wife makes the bed. So the bed is made. It's just not you that makes it. Or does she make it on occasion? Okay. So the bed is made.
No, she makes it. Yeah, she likes it. She likes it. Like it. Like when I was first, when I was younger and I lived in studio apartments or I did, you know, I had my room where my bed was in it, I would make my bed because it's sort of like, well, that's my world.
Yeah,
but
that's
like
your space.
A lot of the times, like now I leave my bedroom and I don't really go back to my bedroom. You know, like, it's it. I'm gone.
Yeah.
Plus, I have two kids. I'm making a bed. It's like, I'm making lunches and packing waters and backpacks. I had to go back to school today because my kid forgot his backpack.
Oh, the old forgetting
the water bottle. My kid's in preschool, she forgot her water bottle one time. And I literally had to take a 38-minute journey to go bring her water bottle to find out they have water bottles at school she could have. She just needed the pink one that she had. She was throwing a holy shit.
My school is a Yeti bottle depository. They have a lost and found. And honestly, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to take some of those lost and found bottles every now and then. I'm like, hey, we can't afford all these Yetis. Like, I'll grab a Yeti. And my kid will eventually lose it again. But, you know, like, it's fine. It's like, you know, give and go.
Exactly.
At the end of the year, they give the
recycle
all of the lost and found stuff. They'll throw it out front, you know, after the big, whatever they call it, last day parade or whatever. And last day parade. Kids are gone. And they put the big lost and found bucket out there. And you can either find it or you can take it. That's just the rule. When it's not staying here, so take it. And last year, there were lots of really nice children's cups in there. And I thought to myself, I should take this cup. But then I also thought to myself, everyone is already consistently ill at this house. Do I really need another fucking germ running around this house?
Well, I mean, look, you can always wash them. Like, that's what I do. I'm washing them, you know.
What? You don't make your bed, but you wash the cup. What kind of crazy
you gotta
man
wash
are
the cups.
You?
I mean, you're that's what I'm saying. I'm a half and half person. Yeah.
You play a little bit of a role in my kid's life too, because you are on Big City Greens, which my
Chip
son,
Whistler.
Yes, you yep. are, and my son is going through quite the Big City Greens phase, and he likes Chip a lot. And I was like, oh, I'm going to talk to Chip today.
Yeah. Well, Chip Whistler has been really interesting because, you know, I love those guys who do Big City Greens.
They're great. So funny, actually.
The whole crew. It's like a very interesting kids cartoon because it oddly is not adult, but it is, you know, it's like the best kids like the best animated shows, I should say. It is elevated and it works on both levels. And my character especially is like a straight up villain. Like most of these shows, you have to have something redeeming. Like, oh, he has a love of music. You know, oh, he's misunderstood. My character is a straight up bastard. And make videos about like, I can't take credit for any of it because it truly is that amazing team behind Big City Greens. Like they really are such a collaborative bunch. But they let me do some insane things. I'm like, really? I can go attack their house with a machine gun? Okay, yeah, sure.
I love that Big City Greens. And, you know, Bluey. I know you've seen Bluey, right?
So, oh, I love Bluey. Bluey is, to me, that Rob Delaney, Sharon Horgan show just for kids.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
I forget what that was called, yeah.
But, you know, the thing about Bluey is, and this is the honest to God truth. I go to a therapy session one time. I got this Bluey book. The Bluey book was about the episode where he camps. So. Okay. Or she camps. Bluey finds a friend that's French while she's camping with her family. They don't speak each other's language, but they develop a friendship over the course of 3 days. On the fourth day, Bluey's friend leaves, but doesn't have a chance to say goodbye. So Bluey's upset. His mom explains he's left. But during the time together, they planted a tree. And then they shows the tree growing, and the mom says something along the lines of, sometimes people come in and out of your life, but like the tree you planted, it sprouts beautifully, you know, and it made me fucking weep like a child. And now I just read that Bluey has like 20 billion hours streamed or something like that.
Yeah.
Big City Greens and Bluey is like a new take on cartoons where I think of the artists and the writers, they understand that the parents also have to watch these too. So let's make it fucking interesting. Like your character talks about whatever it is, the wholeness grocery store is coming next door. The kids don't know what that means, but I know who they're slaying, right?
Right,
I know who
exactly.
You're slaying.
You know that we're taking down Whole Foods. Like, yeah, no, I think it's really interesting, this kind of middle ground, because I feel like for a long time, children's programming was made by adults for children. And now these children have grown up. And they're making shows for themselves. Like they grew up, like it's a different mentality. I don't know, like, and I could probably explain it better than that, but it's just like, I do think that like you have people that,
I get what you're saying.
To it. Yeah. It's like, there's a weight, like they understand. Like I remember when I did Yo Gabba Gabba, they said to me, I watched so much Sesame Street. I wanted to like stab my eyes out because it's great for my kids, but I'm bored to tears. Like, I want to do something fun. Let's have cool people on the show. You know, and that's where they had the dance off and they had like Jack Black singing songs. And, you know, I did Knock Knock Jokes with Jack McBrayer. We just had like this fun vibe and it's still geared towards kids, but it also is fun for adults. And I love that. I love being able to enjoy stuff with my kids.
Yes.
It's the best.
I think there's something, I think that's a very interesting take. And now that you're saying it, it makes a lot of sense, is that we grew up in a time of great cartoons, but they were certainly mostly geared toward children. And unless how you watch the Flintstones that was on primetime or something like that. But generally, it was geared toward children. Yeah. And now those children have grown up and they have decided it can be for children, but it can also hit the right notes for adults too, because we're the ones that really have to suffer through it, right? It's on 24/7.
And by the way, if the adults like it, the kids are going to watch more of it.
Absolutely.
Right? Because it's like, to me, I am so thankful that I have grown up in a time of Phil Lord and Chris Miller with the Lego movies and Spider-Verse and all this sort of stuff, because I am just as excited to see that. I want to go see those. Like, I've listened to the Lego movie in my car so many times.
Me
and I
too.
Have to tell you, it never stops being funny. It's interesting. It's great. There's really funny performances. I mean, they're great live action directors, but they're like, you know, it's like animation, I think, used to live in this area of being for kids. That's why I was even upset at the Academy Awards. They made some joke like, hey, don't let your kids vote on these. I'm like, these movies are some of them better than the movies that are nominated for Best
for
Picture.
Sure.
Absolutely. These are great films.
Yeah, absolutely. And I read, and you tell me if this is true, that you are a bit of a Disney adult, too. Do you like to go to Disney World?
You know, it's funny. I definitely am. And, you know, every time and then I meet a real Disney adult, and I'm like, well, I guess I'm not. You know, I am very much, I love Disney. I got my yearly passport. I visit. I'll go, you know, on a moment's notice, although not lately. But I love it. It's great. And, you know, it's funny because, you know, for me, it was such an escape. Like when I was a kid, we would go to Orlando. I grew up in the East Coast in New York. And it was the only place that we knew to go to vacation. Like I didn't know until like college that you could go anywhere without a theme park. I was like, wait, why would you do that?
I'm with you 100%. I have a feeling that we have some similarities in the way that we grew up in that sense too. It's like, you know, I came from a family, there were four boys. My mom was sick on and off as when we were children, and Disney World was the place where we vacationed. I can think of two other places my entire childhood that we went that was not Disney World. And my dad,
let me guess, because I want to see if it's the same as mine. Busch Gardens, Virginia. Did you ever go there?
We did. That was one of them. And the second one was a cross-country trip in a conversion van, 27 days. I was 14 years old.
Like vacation?
Like vacation. Exactly like vacation.
Wow.
And I can tell you what. At the time, it was torture being in that van with my entire fucking family riding that, you know, in the middle of South Dakota, in the middle of the night and all this other stuff. I look back on it now and I desperately want to do this with my children.
It's so fun. It's like, you know, we did a thing during COVID where we rented a Sprinter van, right? Mm-hmm. A Sprinter van is like a little bit bigger than a, you know, or not taller, right? Than a regular like a minivan. And we had the best time. We drove all the way up to Portland, Oregon. And we're here in Los Angeles, California.
Okay.
So we drove, and it was a great trip. And we were just trying to find something to do. You know, we were kind of locked up and cooped up. And it was like, let's just go. Let's just drive. And, you know, now with iPads and things like that, like it's good. And, you know, you could lay down. That's the other thing that was great about that Sprinter van. Like one of us could lay down. Like we left, I think, at like 4 or 5 in the morning. And I slept until like 9:30, 10.
Wow.
And then I started driving at that point. And then my wife kind of was able to relax. Like, it's like, that's, you know, that's what you really be. If you can do that, it actually makes the trip not that bad. But shoving everybody into like a small little car, that is where it gets intense.
Well, this was a conversion van, which they had in the 80s. Yeah. I don't think they have them very much anymore. But it's like, you get in, you can almost stand up. They have four captain's chairs. And then they have a bench in the back
Amazing.
Where you could lay
I
down.
Know exactly a conversion van. Yeah.
And they had a TV, but it was black and white, or sometimes color, but you can only tune into the local stations. So when you were driving, it's like 15 minutes of TV, and then you'd be like, I'll change it to the next station, son.
It's so funny because, you know, for the longest time, you know, trailers on movie sets or TV sets would have like a antenna TV. And it was like, it was such a fuck you, because it's like, yeah, here you go. That's here's a TV for you.
Best
God bless you. You're not going to watch a goddamn thing on this, you know.
Oh, man. So I do have to say this. We were talking about this very briefly before we started the interview, is that Paul is Mr. Podcast America right now. I don't know if anybody knows. He's winning many accolades.
Yes.
He's won many accolades for his wonderful show.
Mm-hmm. Southwest.
Yeah, you were at the iHeart.
iHeart Podcast Awards. Yes, and we won Best TV and Film Podcast. And technically, I guess I have two TV and film podcasts, or just, they're both film podcasts.
Yeah,
One is about bad movies, how did this get made? One is about good movies, it's called Unspooled.
Yeah.
And they're super, you know, they're fun. And, you know, we started these podcasts 13, 14 years ago, you know, before people even knew what a podcast was, you know? So that was something that was really, to me, you know, it's funny. I think that, you know, as somebody who's like an actor, writer, director, whatever, you know, you do all this sort of stuff, but I'm so thankful, and I'm sure you are as well, that you have this podcast, because it allows you to make up your own rules, do what you want to do when you want to do it.
Yes.
And, you know, through the pandemic, through the writer's strike, all these different things, I mean, I'm still able to make stuff, you know? And so it becomes this idea where it really you know, for me, I grew up and or started my whole career like writing my own shows, directing shows, producing shows, right? So it's an outgrowth of that. So I do love it. You know, I just love this idea that we're able to control a little bit of our destiny.
I think we love it too. And it's the only thing that we know. We don't have the accolade. I mean, your IMDb page is quite frankly super and fucking impressive.
I know.
It's super impressive.
You're nice to say it.
Yeah. And I think there was like, what, over 400 credits or something like that. I read somewhere. But yeah. One of the things that Chrissy and I started this right before the pandemic, like a week before the pandemic, we started our first episode, and it became like a default place to be normal, to have an hour or two or three when we were recording where we could just, since we were best friends already, where we could just not have to worry about or not be so paranoid about everything around us. We could share in this. And we were just talking about it. It's become like almost a
therapy
in a way for us, I think. It's gotten us through. The podcast industry can be easy. It can be tough. There's a lot of ups and downs to it. But when we turn on these microphones, everything else melts away. And the creating of the show really is something super cathartic, I feel like, for me, and I'm sure you feel the same way. And so let me tell you a funny little story about your podcast. So when we first started our podcast, this is like maybe like episode for us number 7, 8, or 9 or something like that. I get on Reddit and I'm in a podcast group and I'm like, you know, sticking my link in the podcast group. Go check out my comedy podcast. Go check out my comedy podcast. And zero listeners. So there was some family.
Then they
got
to
start. They got to start.
They dropped off quickly.
Listened to the first 20 minutes, and then they were
like,
gone.
We listened.
Too. Yeah,
that's it.
One of the things we learned, Paul, about podcasts and families, they don't give a shit. No. They don't give a shit.
No, I mean, look, I'm going to say that too. It's like I've met so many friends who, when they have kids, are like, "We're going to move back home to have our family help out." It's like, they're not going to help out. They're going to be fine with the babysitter. They're going to come do what they all want. Yeah, you got to learn that early.
It's so true. So I get on this Reddit group and someone is talking about your podcast, right? How did this get made? And so they were talking about, hey, how did this get made should break down this podcast. I still remember the name of the podcast. Won't shout it out here, but it was a terrible podcast. It was like done in Kentucky on someone's iPhone and all they could say was the word fuck. It was like 30 fucks and a shit. God. And they were talking about traffic patterns and how this guy pulled out in front of me and almost made me get in an accident. Fuck this and fuck that. And so I get on the show the next day when I'm recording with Chrissy with this real fear, like a sincere fear that you were going to, I didn't know you were on the show yet, by the way. I just knew the name of the show that you were going to get on. You were going to find our podcast and break it down. I was like, Chrissy, we got to avoid being on this podcast whatsoever.
That's hilarious. Well, you know, it's so funny. There is a podcast out there that makes fun of podcasts. You know, and look, I guess like those who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. I mean, we are making fun of movies, you know, and it's as people who are actors and writers and directors and stuff like we understand that everybody sets out to make a movie with the best intentions.
Sure.
And I've worked on many a movie that we thought was going to be great. And then you watch it and I go,
yeah,
You know, and that's it.
That's a thing. We did a thing.
You know, we did it. We were there. You know, I think it's sort of like, we try very hard to not just come off
snarky
or like
mean.
Look,
yeah,
the way that we wanted to do the show and the way that we came up with this idea was very much based in how friends get together after. Like for me, when I was a kid growing up, we would go see a movie and then there was a Denny's like right next to the movie theater. And then that's how we'd extend our night.
Yeah.
Movie, go to Denny's, eat our food, and talk about the movie, good or bad, right? And that was the kind of thing that we really wanted to embrace. We could do the show about There Will Be Blood, you know, but it's like, it won't be funny.
Yeah.
You know, and we are fans, you know, so that's how we kind of approached it, you know, very much like, we love this. Like we're not like just trying to rip apart the dumbest things. But I think the thing that has kind of happened over these 14 years is we really have gotten into character motivations. Like we're like, all right, so she's a gambler, but she also really wants to make pancakes. Okay, all right, now let's go through that.
Wow, all right,
you know, it's like, yeah, we really kind of like, so it's fun for us, and we just, you know, it never runs out of stuff to talk about. And I think, you know, the show devolves into different things. It's reason why actually I wrote this book, because I would talk about my own stories. And like you start to, you know, it is a dinner table conversation. It's not like Mystery Science Theater 3000 where we're like going scene by scene, moment by moment. Sure. It is just like this kind of free flowing conversation. It's like, oh my gosh, you know, that actually reminds me of the time that I stole money from school. Oh, yeah. Wait, what happened there? You know, it just becomes this whole big thing.
I love the podcast, and Chrissy and I were listening to it earlier. We were listening to your 50 Shades of Grey.
Right.
Oh, yes. We're in the middle of our trilogy.
And I was
listening
to the Twilight one, too.
Oh, yeah. Classic, yeah.
So it's kind of a running joke. My wife has pulled me into every 50 Shades of Grey movie. I tend to be one of the only, I'm sure I'm the only straight male there, certainly, but I tend to be one of the only guys that shows up to the theater. And the ladies are packing the place out. They're going nuts over everything. And I just can't believe you've seen the movies. So
I
like
didn't get into them.
The one I say episode because that's what it felt like, a bad episode of television, when Christian Grey crashes his helicopter and then just shows up the next scene with a small scar on his head and he's like, I survived it. It's
like, and more importantly, like, what are you guys all freaked out about? You crashed a helicopter.
What's going on? But I do sense that your show comes from a place of love for the art and not mean-spiritedness around the actual people who are trying to make this thing.
Yeah, look, I mean, very much, you know, look, we've had people on our show. We've had Charlize Theron on our show, Seth Rogen on our show, Amy Schumer. You know, we've had all these people who are very much, Adam Scott, all these people who are actively, we all work in this business, right? Like, and, you know, and it's like, and there are, you know, it's not, yeah, it's just, to me, it's fun. It's like, look, and I've talked to people who have been in those movies, and they're like, oh my God, thank God you didn't have to see it. You know, it's like, you know, look, I mean, like, you know, like, we're doing nothing worse than what Dakota Johnson is doing with Madam Web.
Right.
I mean, my God.
I have one idea for you. I'll send it to you if you want me to. Fateful Findings. Have you done this yet?
I believe we did do Fateful Findings.
Okay, I'm going to look it up and listen to it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's a Stephen King, right? Or maybe I'm wrong.
I don't think it's a Stephen King. Oh, wait, no. I don't know who the original source material came from.
Yeah. No, this is this guy, Neil Breen.
Yes. Neil Breen.
We did Fateful Findings live in Seattle. It was an amazing show. I am forever a fan of Neil Breen. As a fan of Tommy Wiseau, I feel like Neil Breen is the second closest.
Right there. He is right there with us. Tell me about your book, because you have a book coming out, and I think it's important that our listeners hear
this. Yes. I appreciate it. Yeah, I have a book called Joyful Recollections of Trauma. I
love the name.
And that book is, you know, the title is what it sounds like. It is kind of... you know, the stories that I told on How Did This Get Made, these kind of crazy moments about, you know, whether it was like going in the city to like see a naked woman, which is something that I tried to do when I was, in high school, or burn down a resort by accident because I was pretend smoking a cigarette. I told you I don't smoke, but I was pretend smoking, you know, how I met my wife or how I became a parent. Like, it's sort of this... it's these funny stories, and I wanted to do a book that, while it would be funny, it wasn't just anecdotes. And it kind of was this idea of like looking back into my childhood, which is a little bit darker, and then trying to figure out how to make that darkness a little bit lighter. So I think the book, you know, rides this line between heavy and dark, and you know, from going from being a kid who is parented in kind of a weird situation to then becoming a parent who has kids and like, all right, how do I do this differently? So there is I think a little bit more of a spine than maybe people will be expecting, but it's been great so far. And you know, and also very humbling because you have to ask people for blurbs.
Yeah.
You know, when I get my blurbs, you have to ask people.
Who did you ask for
book?
Blurbs?
Well, on the back of my book, the people who've blurbed it and they actually all read it, which was amazing. You know, normally when people ask me to blurb, I'm like, whatever.
Hey, he's a great guy.
but Jane Fonda gave me a blurb.
No shit.
Yeah. And Amy Poehler. Phoebe Robinson, Casey Wilson, Ed Brubaker, I'm a huge fan of, Patton Oswalt.
Yeah.
So I got a handful of people that I just really admire and respect and who have written some books in this space. It's been a real fun journey. And now the heat is on because apparently I thought like, oh, well, the book will come out and then it will sell it. And they're like, no, you have to sell it now. So if you have any interest in buying the book, buy it now because you can buy it wherever you get your books. But it is crazy the amount of energy.
Promotion and like, energy.
Yeah, you got to go and you got to sell this book before it comes out.
Yeah, and listen, we'll put all the pertinent links in the show notes and we'll talk about it after we
No, I appreciate you. Wherever books are sold, it's the easiest thing, or just go to my website.
I can't wait to read it.
I can't wait to read it either. And that's one of the, I think one of the things about doing these interviews is it's actually got me reading again, like full books all the way through. Front to cover. Oh. I do a lot of like audio listening. That's my preferred
me
method.
Me too, and it counts as reading.
It does count.
I just recorded my audio book, and I tried to do something different for that too because I wanted to, as a fan, you know, right now I am listening to Barbara Streisand's audiobook,
which
is
me too.
48 hours.
So
48
long.
Hours?
So long.
48 hours?
I'm in hour 32, and she's in 1982.
Yeah. I think Deepak Chopra has less audiobooks than Barbara Streisand.
You know, I just wanted to do something fun, so I'm adding some special stuff in there where there's like clips of things. I've pulled like some old audio from my from like shows and stuff like that. So I'm
so
really
cool.
having fun like putting that stuff together, and it's been a blast. You know, like I'm trying to. My whole thing is this: like, you know, I love doing my show. I love going on other people's shows, but I also understand like a lot of this stuff is free. And we're in a time where money is tight. So I wanted to make sure that if people are spending money, I'm giving them something. Like if you pre-order my book, I've been signing, I'm only doing 3,000, but I'm signing 3,000. I'm writing 3,000 postcards.
I heard you talking
and by the
about
way, 3,000 sounds small until you get into like 1,700. Like, oh my God, I'm just.
We give away these stickers and then people will ask us to sign something or send something. So we have these postcards. We do the same thing, right? You know, thanks very much. We'll write a personal little message. And then we sign them. I think one day we had to do like 26 of them. And I was like, God damn, are we ever going to get done with the postcards?
So I can't imagine 3,000. Yeah,
I am in this box of 3,000. And I know that once that runs out, I'll be thrilled. But then I'll feel bad because I'm like, oh, I can't get more postcards, people. But, you know, it's like there was some things I didn't think about. Postage was one of them.
Right.
but, how long did it take you to write the book? How long did it take you to actually pen the book?
You know, I wanted to, a lot of my friends go about writing a book by selling it. Like, I want to write a book.
Yeah.
And the idea of wanting to write a book and then actually writing a book are very different.
Fair.
Right. Like, and I didn't want to be one of those people who felt like my appetite was bigger than my stomach. So I had that thought, let me write a book. And then I actually sat down and started writing. And I wrote about 100 pages or so. And then I used that to sell the book. I was like, this is what the book is.
That's a smart idea.
You know, whether or not that benefited me or hurt me, I don't know. You know, but I, you know, it was like, because it was clear to me. I was like, I understand what I want to be saying here.
Yeah.
And that was really, really fun. So I spent a couple months on that. I would say all in all, probably like a 2-year process.
Yeah, I think we had an agent one time tell us, they're like, hey, why don't you think about writing a book? And I'm like, what the fuck would I say? Who would have any interest? Oh, there's 7,000 hours of the commercial break. If you really want to know, you can just go dig around the commercial break.
And every
story is in there. Yeah.
Well, yeah. And you know, it's like, that was a thing that was kind of interesting for me. Cause it's like, you have to like, I wanted to figure out how to do it in a way that wasn't, and this is not saying what you're saying is this, but like, I didn't want to make it lazy. I didn't want to just be like, oh, sure. I've told these stories, or I'll do this stuff. I was like, how can I put a spin on it? It really is not the book I intended to write, which is kind of fun because it did challenge me. It's like, oh, this is what the book is. It's sort of like, it's, you know, not to make it sound too highfalutin, but it's like chipping away at marble. You're like, oh, that's what I'm making, right?
Yeah.
And it's like,
yeah.
And you start to see it as you kind of go through it a little bit. But I had to start by putting the pen or the fingertips to keyboard, you know, because it was really like, you want to like, it's the way with anything I've ever written or created, like, you know, whether it's a TV show or anything like that, the original idea, sometimes when you look back, you're like, oh, that's how it came. Like, you know, it's like, you know, it's like you have to allow that process to kind of morph and evolve.
I think we feel that way sometimes about the show too, is that we will have an idea about where we're going, and that's not most episodes, that's just some episodes.
Right, right, yeah.
But then it goes in a completely different direction.
Goes in a completely different direction, yeah. But that's what, there's where the meat and potatoes is, that's where the gold is, and you don't know until you actually start creating it, right? And I think that's what's so interesting about all art, is that oftentimes you have an idea is sparked and you're like, oh, this thing. But as it unfolds, like the lotus flower, as someone
I love this. Yes.
As the lotus flower, you don't know what it looks like until it all unfolds. And then you go, oh, now it's that thing. And that's great. And let's put that out in the world. And, you know, you wrote a book because you are not a lazy human being. Anybody with 400 IMDb credits is not lazy in any way, shape, or form. However, me, I just want to stay in the middle of the pack. I don't want to do anything.
But I do think what you're saying is really interesting, because I talk to a lot of people who are like, you know, they'll say, oh, Paul, I want to make a podcast. How do I make a podcast? Or, you know, or what's the secret? You know, and it's like, or the same thing. It's like, oh, I want to be on a TV show. How do I do it? And the truth is like, there's two things that the only piece of advice I always give, especially with podcasts, is like, just do something that you love with people that you want to be doing it with. And that's across the board. Like, if it's a podcast, like, in success with podcasting, you make more podcasts, right?
Yeah.
Like, the most successful podcasts, they're getting maybe a lot of money, but what are they doing? Just making more.
That's it.
Like, you know, it's like, you know, so you have to enjoy it. And like, your relationship with each other, it's like, you have to, like, you want to be there. And this, I think there's a thing too, where it's like, I've worked with so many people who get very strongly connected to what the original intent is. And, you know, and I think that, like, you know, like, I was reading this thing that Rick Rubin, is it Rick Rubin?
He's brilliant.
Yeah, he had a great producer, and wrote this book, and it was like, you know, once it starts, like, the idea is the first part, but it grows, and it grows so much that even once you give it over to the world, it's no longer yours, right? Yeah. And I was thinking about that idea too. It's like, it's what the people view it as, and for better or for worse, right? People can think you're a genius, people think you're an idiot, but like, it is like, you can't control it. Like, once people interpret it their way, they're going to do with it whatever you can do. So you can just feel like, I did it the way I wanted. You can't force a message in. You can't, like, but if you're malleable and you go with the flow, and like, in the middle of an episode or an interview or a thing, you're like, oh, wait, let me go this way. I mean, that's improv.
That's what it is. Yeah, it is improv. And you're so right about this. It's like, we make it. It's here. It's in this moment. To us, it's one thing. We give it over to the world. It's something completely different to them.
Yeah.
You know, we have people that write in, and they're like, they get attached to these episodes and these things that we do. And it's so weird to me, right? It's like otherworldly that someone's attached to this silly little BS that we did.
Yeah.
But it's their interpretation. Now it's their art to love, to cherish, to have their perception. And that is good or bad, because there's lots of people who say, great, Brian, and there's plenty of people, like our families, who say, what the fuck are you doing with your life?
No, it's amazing. But, you know, it's like, it's also so hard. Like, when I started, I wanted to always be an actor, right? Or at a certain point, I was like, I want to be an actor. And I'd say that a lot as a kid, and no one would support that ultimately. They're like, oh, well, sure, right. But, you know, you could be a lawyer, you make a little bit more money, you know, whatever it was, you know. And I was so excited when I got my first gig as like an actor. I got it in this off-Broadway improv group called Chicago City Limits, and I was like, guys, I'm acting in an off-Broadway show. You know, it's like, it's an improv thing. And people be like, what's improv? Right? And then you're like, oh, right. It does, like, even though I'm like, oh, I feel like I'm getting paid, I'm working, I'm going around. People just wouldn't. It was hard, right? And I even remember, like, my mom said to me, I had auditioned for Saturday Night Live, and I had my own TV show, right? And it was going really well. Human Giant, we had done this.
Oh, what a great
sketch show. Yeah. Oh, thanks. Yeah. And my mom was like, but I bet you still wish you could be on Saturday Night Live. And I was like, no, I'm more than thrilled, because I get to make my own thing. But like, that's the thing. It's like, it's hard, because what people's view of success is, or what they know, it's only limited by what they know. And it's like, for me, I know in my family, my biggest success will be when I get on the Kelly Ripa show. Like, nice. Until then,
yeah,
it's going to be a little bit trickier.
Yeah. My mom's still wondering when we're going to be interviewed by Oprah. And I said, Mom, I think that we're 10 years too late on that one. Unless we're on Ozempic, we're not going to be interviewed by Oprah. But speaking of your acting, I think Chrissy is a huge fan of the...
Oh, absolutely. And my husband was so excited when I told him that we were interviewing you. And he wants to know, awesome. Are you really in a fantasy league? Do you do that?
I am in a fantasy league. I'm in less fantasy leagues than I was once in. But yeah, no, I'm in a fantasy basketball and football league, multiple fantasy football leagues. Look, it's the best. It's a great way to kind of, you know, my show, The League, that I was on for 7 years.
So funny.
We had the best time doing that show, and it really got me into that world, and we love that. I actually saw Katie Azleton last night. I hadn't seen her in a while, and I saw Mark in South by Southwest, and Nick I see all the time. But
yeah, you guys as a group, just you could tell you were all like really friends and just having a blast doing it.
We have the best time. But you know, we are not in a league. We are no longer in a league. We used to be in a league together, but we are no longer in a league together. I think simply just because not everyone in that group really gives a shit about it. But I'm in three leagues right now.
Okay,
so yes.
Good to know.
But it is harder for me to watch football because of my kids, right? We're not going to do anything on Sunday but watch TV is tricky because I'm going to soccer games, I'm going to basketball games. But we got that NFL season pass this year and we just keep it on throughout the week. So I may not be watching football in real time, but I watch it throughout the week.
Yeah, I have a lot of friends that do this. I have a lot of friends that do this. Yeah, they get the package, and then they say, well, I watch the, you know.
When you can.
Yeah, I'll watch the Sunday afternoon game on Monday at morning or whatever it is. They just watch it throughout the week. It just kind of changed the way that we all watch television.
It's kind of nice because it's like, it is hard to be like, I mean, but before you had anything to do, you could lounge around on a Sunday and like, you know, and just watch the game. But, you know, we keep it on, but it's so much fun to be able to have it at, and then you watch it without commercials, it goes by a lot quicker. It's great.
Oh, yeah. God. But my favorite credit that you have has got to be your credit as Roy Cohn on Roy Cohn.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
Playing Roy Cohn in The Art of the Deal. That was
so Funny or Die made this movie, The Art of the Deal, which is like a made for TV movie or a made for internet movie about Donald Trump's book, The Art of the Deal. Now, who played Donald Trump? Johnny Depp. Now, movie finish? Right when all the stuff about Johnny Depp comes out. Like, literally, was released the day it came out. So, all of a sudden, this fun thing that Funny or Die had done, and they had done, I think, one of those things, I think, for Steve Jobs at one point, too. It came out, and no one could really promote it because it was this weird moment. But yes, I got to be Roy Cohn, work with Johnny on that, who is in full Trump makeup. It's a really amazing makeup job. So, and he does something that's very different than what you would think a Donald Trump impression is. But he worked really, really hard on that. And it's a crazy, star-studded, insane, like 40 minutes. I think it's longer than 40 minutes, but it feels,
I just loved it for so many reasons on so many levels. I love it. I love to see a good
Roy Cohn, an interesting guy. And
I love to see a good poke in the ribs.
I know.
Yeah.
We have one more thing to talk to you about that.
Sure.
And that is one of our favorite shows, Naked Attraction.
Oh,
Oh my gosh.
How crazy is that show?
We broke, so on certain days we break down, like you break down movies, we break down videos, but we do it here, like live, we'll do it, you know, short videos or short clips.
Yeah.
And I have been talking about this to Chrissy since like 2018, took a trip to Ireland, got stuck in the only snowstorm Dublin has ever had, apparently, shut the whole town down. I was in this hotel room with my wife for like 7 days, just doing nothing, but stuck in the hotel room and able to walk. But anyway, they kept playing
that.
They had a marathon going on of Naked Attraction.
Oh my God.
And I could not believe my fucking eyes or my fucking ears.
And you can't turn away.
You can't turn away.
No, you can't turn away. I mean, but you know, it's so funny because while you can't turn away, there is something so bizarre about it, because when are you ever, like, when would you ever make a decision based on waist down?
Yeah.
Especially, and you're seeing stuff in ways that are not sexy. It's horrifying.
No, it's like a biological science class or something. It's like, oh, look at her labia. It looks delicious. And you're like, it doesn't really look delicious, though. It's kind of weirdly lit and it's very close.
It's just
and,
that show.
No, the backdrop, everything. Now, have you watched Sex Box?
No.
No. What's that?
Okay, so Sex Box is a show that someone talked to me about after I was talking to them about Naked Attraction. Sex Box, they have a box. people go in there.
Yeah.
They have sex and then they come out and it's almost like a color commentary on what just happened inside the box.
You gotta
Google it. It's on YouTube, Sex Box. It is I mean, it ups the ante of Naked Attraction.
My internet skills have failed me. Sex Box. I troll down some pretty dark holes for this show. And I've never heard of Sex Box, but you better believe tonight my wife's gonna find me in a very strange place when I watch Sex Box.
That won't be the first
now,
time.
I don't know if you guys, we do this sometimes on our Twitch show, Rob and I. We will troll and find different things. I just found this thing that was killing me this week, which was parents who had brought their kid in 1979 to go see the movie Alien.
I saw that. I watched that on your Instagram. And it's crazy.
I was like, this is wild. Yeah, to bring a five-year-old here, I was like, oh, my God.
Alien, the original,
I told my kid he couldn't watch Big City Greens until he turned 3.5. Like, I was just like, I'm so nervous about, you know, all this content just flying in their faces, and I have no idea. Alien is a fucked up movie for adults to watch.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, yeah, and it's also just like, forget about the chest burster and all that kind of stuff. Like, just about the drama. It's a drama. Yeah. It's like a five-year-old sitting in there for that. It's like, come on.
It's death and destruction and chaos. It's absolutely crazy. Paul Scheer, you're one of our favorites of all time. We got so excited when you agreed to come on
the
show.
Thank you so much.
I am so happy to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
I give you express permission. If you ever decide to do podcasts on How Did This Get Made, you have express permission to do the commercial.
Take it down. It's the best. No, we're all in this together.
Yeah.
The only thing I really want to do on our show that we've never been able to pull off, because I feel like Jason and June really haven't supported my idea for this, but I want to do Captain EO, the ride, Francis Ford Coppola, Michael Jackson. That's what we got to do. All
if
right,
you
I love
like
it.
Me to, I am 100% in. I remember the ride like it was yesterday.
Oh my gosh.
We can find the movie online. I know it.
Oh yeah, it's all there. It's all there online. It is all there.
Commercial break meets How Did It Get Made. We will do Captain EO. You let me know and I'll do a special episode. And then I bet Jason and June will get on board. They'll be like,
that's what I think. I think they need it. I think they need that.
Use me as leverage. I'm good. The number. Yeah, this guy with his mediocre comedy podcast is coming on.
No, come on. Number one. Come on.
Number one. Paul Scheer, thank you very much for coming on the show. And we hope to talk to you again. And anytime you're in Disney World, call me because I'll be down there.
What
in
a pleasure.
Yeah.
What? Oh, hi. It's Christina again. Here to remind you to go to tcbpodcast.com for all things audio, video, and TCBDO. Give us a follow on Instagram at The Commercial Break and on TikTok at TCB Podcast. And guess what? We have a new phone number. I know what you're thinking, but I promise this is the last TCB phone number you will ever have to remember. So call us and leave us a voicemail or text us at 212-433-3TCB. Once more for the people in the back, that's 212-433-3TCB. Oh, and check out our YouTube channel at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. That's all for now. Let's listen to our sponsors and get back to the show.
This episode is sponsored in part by Prize Picks. Okay, now a sporting season has come around that I actually enjoy. The MLB is back, baby. And I'm sitting here on Easter weekend and I am playing some games on Prize Picks. And let me tell you how easy this is. I picked Joe Boyle, a pitcher from Oakland, to throw more than 6.5 strikeouts. And I got Aaron Judge, you know Aaron Judge, hitting a home run on tonight's games. And that's it. It's that easy. You pick over, you pick under, you pick more, you pick less. It's just you against the numbers. Prize Pick is America's number one fantasy fantasy sports platform where you do not have to be an expert on any of the sports because you're playing against the stats. And while I'm playing Boyle and Judge tonight, I will be playing my boys from Atlanta later on this week. And now, because Prize Picks loves the Commercial Break listeners, and you happen to be a Commercial Break listener, you can go to prizepicks.com/TCB and then use the promo code TCB for your first deposit match of up to $100. That's prizepicks.com/TCB, and make sure to use the code TCB for a first deposit match of up to $100. Now, you'll have to excuse me as I go watch the Oakland game, and I'll follow up with you next week and let you know what happens. prizepicks.com/TCB. Use that code TCB to get up to $100 on a first match deposit. Thanks, PrizePicks, for being a sponsor of the Commercial Break. You know, Paul is like, you know, they say never meet your heroes.
Yeah.
And from the moment that Paul joined us, he was so fucking nice.
I know.
Like, I'm just expecting some of these people to come in here.
I know.
Going, why the fuck am I here?
Yeah,
and who the fuck are these people?
With.
Let's get this over
come
with.
On,
move
get it
on.
Wrong. Yeah.
And mostly, we've experienced the exact opposite,
yeah.
I would say. You know, and people have bad days and all that other stuff, and I get that. But
he's so
nice
easy
human
to talk
being.
To, so laid back, and just... He kind of makes me feel a little bit like we haven't accomplished as much.
Oh, no. And we have no time. There's no time. No time, says Kelly Kapowski. We have no time. There's no time to get 400 credits on IMDb unless you consider every one of these episodes a credit, which actually...
Well,
we do. And so does IMDb. They actually have us on IMDb. IMBD. Did you know that?
No.
You didn't know that? The Commercial Break is on IMDb.
Okay.
And I did not, swear to God, all that's holy, I did not put that up there. It's, I don't know why. They just all of a sudden were on IMDb.
Okay.
So,
well,
and you're
but
on
regardless.
And you're on there.
Okay.
So good for you. You have a credit for each episode. 500 credits. We beat you, Paul. That's it. That's all I got to say. Paul was wonderful. He was super sweet. And
we get to talk to him for forever. We've said that about a couple other
I know. There's just some people,
too.
Like you get the energy where you could just, this is the beginning of a great conversation. And then, of course, we cut it off because we get nervous that if we stay too long, they're never coming back on the show or they're going to tell their friends, God damn, I got stuck. I mean, I just got stuck.
Don't, whatever you do, do not go to that podcast. But hey, I can't wait to listen to his book, and I love that he's having fun with it and doing special clips and things and effects and making it a whole experience because he likes to listen to books too and wants to make it entertaining for those of us who do. And they do count.
They
as
do
reading.
Count. I agree with you. and even though we're listening, it's still a book and you're still going through it from beginning to end, or in most cases from beginning to end. I have hundreds of audiobooks. And when I was running a lot, that's what I do. That's how I'd kill the time. You know, if I ran, I would try and do a 5K when I ran out and ran.
Uh-huh.
So for me, that would take like 70 minutes.
Yeah.
And so I would listen to, you know, a good chunk of a book in a run, and I can't wait to listen to Paul's books, The Joyful Recollections of Trauma. It's coming out. Link in the description. As I already said, it'll be on the website too. You can go, you can pre-order it. That way it's right there for you the day that it comes out. You don't have to wait. No waiting. And let's do it for Paul. That's what I have to say.
Do it for
because
Paul.
Because he's a really nice guy. He's a fellow Disney World fan.
Mm-hmm.
He's all up in my kids' cartoons. And, you know, I wanted to be mad at him about it, but I... It's like, you know, I do like...
I need
like
to go back and watch this cartoon now.
Big City Greens. It actually is really fun. So here's a funny story about Big City Greens. Big City Greens, like some other shows on Disney, since they own ESPN, have started to do these layovers for NFL football games, and Big City Greens did it for an NHL game.
Oh.
So what they do is... Do you know what I'm talking about?
I was
about?
Actually watching this. Okay, so that was the show. My nephew, I was up visiting my nephews, and my nephew was so excited about this. It was a Penguins game they just did, and it was so funny to have like
the little
grandma.
Characters. Yeah.
Is there a grandma?
There's
involved?
A grandma, there's
okay.
a dad. Yeah, now you know. Yeah. Because now my kid is so fascinated by this. He doesn't even know what the fuck hockey is, but he's like, Dad, put on Big City Greens hockey.
I'm going to have to tell my nephew I talked to
Phil.
To Phil.
Yeah. Absolutely. This is a big deal.
Yeah.
And so Big City Greens is everywhere. It's like Big City Greens and Bluey. They're dominating the kids' airwaves. And so now they've started to do these layovers. And they're really, it's really great, actually.
It was way funny. To get I sat there and watched the game with him while we were watching it under the Big City Greens thing.
So I believe,
interpretation.
And I know they do this for NFL games, and it's play by play. And what they do is it's essentially, you know, I guess they have magic markers that they follow the people around, and then the characters are the football players. And so you're watching the actual game as it unfolds, but it's a cartoon.
Yes.
And it's really interesting. And then they have announcers that do the special announcing for this particular version of the game. It's really great. I forgot to ask him about that. But, you know, Paul is a wonderful person. He was so nice to join us today. Chrissy, we have eclipsed even our wildest dreams.
Yes.
I feel like in some ways we can go ahead and die now. Or turn off the show. Just go away. And,
who knows?
You know, we've reached the top of the improv comedy charts, whatever that means. And we've had Paul Scheer on. So Paul Scheer, Margaret Cho, Heather McMahon, Hannah Berner. What else could we? Felicia Day,
yeah.
Joanna Houseman. I can go through all the whole list. But what else can we accomplish, really? As a mediocre comedy podcast, I don't think we can go too much further. Or else we won't be able to call ourselves a mediocre comedy podcast. We'll be... just fine.
Just
fine.
Like, we're the Cheesecake Factory of podcasts.
The new tagline is born. The Cheesecake Factory of podcasts. Yes. Yes, we are.
Hey, at least we're on Olive Garden. Boom.
Hey, listen, that's bad. I don't care what you say. Olive Garden, not my thing. Lots of people like it, not my thing. Not my thing at all. Even though they have endless breadsticks.
But the breadsticks aren't good to me. When I had those, I was like, at least I can eat the salad and breadsticks, and those weren't good.
Yeah, so. I mean, if what we're considering good breadsticks is warm, Wonder White bread,
yeah.
Then okay.
Frozen.
Yeah, doused in butter and chopped, you know, garlic powder, then fine. Fine. It's fine. That's what it is. But I agree with you. I didn't think it was like some revelation, like everybody said for years.
Yeah.
Until I showed up at an Olive Garden and I was like, it's all right.
It's all right.
I don't know. I've had some Chef Boyardee. It tastes better, I think.
Yeah.
But anyway, I don't want to knock Olive Garden. They're fine. They're fine. Go eat. Go eat there. Don't listen to me. What do I know? What do I know? I eat cream and cereal. I don't know the first thing about food. Don't listen to me. All right, tcbpodcast.com. That's where you go. All the show notes, all the links to our guests' pertinent information, it's all there. The video, the audio. You can also get your free piggy fronting sticker by hitting the Contact Us button. Drop down menu, I want my free sticker. Give us your address. We'll send it away. Also, we need you to be a part of the show. We're really interested in having you on this program. We're not going to be only interviewing guests. We're going to be interviewing people, actual human beings. Celebrities, up here. The rest of us, down here. We want to get on your level because that's... exactly where, because that's a step up for us, actually. There you go. So we want you on the show. All you have to do is dial up 212-433-3TCB. 212-433-3TCB. You can text us. Let us know you have a question, you want some advice, you have a funny story to tell us, you're interested in just having a generalized discussion about who makes the bed and who doesn't, or have you made your preparatory will and last testament? Feel free. Text us, let us know you want to be on the show, and we will let you know the super secret locations and times where you can dial in to be on the show. That's that. At the commercial break on Instagram, at the commercial break on Instagram, TCB podcast on TikTok, and youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. All right, thanks, Dr. Phil, you Looney Tune. I love you. Best to you.
Best to you.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. And Paul Scheer, until next time, Chrissy and I always say, we do say, and we must say,
goodbye.